Episode number 135 of the Sane Asylum. It is the final day of April, April 30th. 30 days has September, yada yada. Why didn't they just stick with the natural moon cycle? Why don't we just have 28 days for 13 months? It would have made it so much simpler. All right, I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo. Some call me the G-Man. It's an honor to be broadcasting for 2 hours now on republicbroadcasting.org and speakfreeradio.com, two of the best truth platforms for independent thinkers and people who want to know what's really going on and support both platforms. We'll tell you more on how to do that in the next couple hours. And my regular co-host for tonight, John Friend, my friend, your friend, John Friend, unfortunately has real-world responsibilities, and he was unable to make the show tonight. So we'll go through a bunch of clips and stories in hour one, and then hour two, we open up the phone lines, and you, the listener, take over, and it'll be interesting to discuss. So much is going on. It's just getting crazier by the moment. But let's start with good old Tucker Carlson, man. Tucker got bounced a week ago Friday unexpectedly. So Monday of this week, we found out that a lot of people love Tucker. And the reason I'm pronouncing it as Tucker is because he is a cuck to the dark state, as the great Ravalt coined that term. And so, you know, but it's funny that a lot of people, they somehow think that the system is somehow legit if you can just vote harder. And so guys like Tucker are there to keep you believing that. But let's go, excellent producer Sam. Let's start out with clip number four. And this was, I don't know if it was, yeah, it was Wednesday, I think. Tucker's first video since he was taken down went on Twitter. And let's listen to Tucker's first message since he got unceremoniously dropped by Fox News.
Good evening, it's Tucker Carlson. One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely nice people there are in this country. Kind and decent people. People who really care about what's true. And a bunch of hilarious people also. A lot of those. It's got to be the majority of the population, even now. So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. That's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid. They've given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. But it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough.
RBN,
as long as you can
hear
the words, there is hope. See you soon.
Well, let's break that down, and let's look at Cucker's history. His father was an operative. He's been raised in wealth, raised as an oligarch. And he, remember when he came in, he was the contrarian on CNN. He used to wear the bow tie when CNN was really liberal, and everybody, this guy, you know, he's a good-looking guy, but he's a goof. And so then he had enough of that. He went to Fox, and he's like the guy from X-15 and the Q people who trust the plan. They all are there as a pressure release valve to neuter the one force in this country that could totally change everything and make the United States a populist, nationalist beacon for the rest of the world. And the problem is that that's the white, patriotic, nationalist individual. That person is heavily armed. That person is those beliefs are probably the majority of every level of law enforcement, every level of the military, except at the highest levels right now with the communist traitors, the globalist traitors, like that closeted cross-dresser General Milley the Maid, and the affirmative action step and fetch it, the black dude. I can't think of his name right now. That's weird. Austin. But the majority of the military is that. So you're talking about a populace that is heavily armed, plus has a majority of loyalty in every level of law enforcement. That combined would drive out, as the great Ravel likes to coin the term last week, the dark state, the synagogue of Satan, the dark state, drive them out once and for all. And we're ready to take on whomever, because our nukes are as good as anybody else's nukes, right? So nobody wants that, so we wouldn't be invaded, and then we could bring manufacturing into this country, eliminate, and we would nationalize the Federal Reserve, nationalize the media, nationalize everything, and in service to a real economy, no GMOs, no poisonous Jew Frankenfoods, nothing. And this country would become a shining beacon to the rest of the world. Secure the borders. Anyone who's illegal, you're gone. You're gone. You're on a bus and you're on a plane. You get to go wherever you want. You get where I'm going with all that. But the thing is the tragic thing is that the people who could put that together, the warrior class, they're too busy wearing their red, white, and blue boxer shorts and getting lit up at the barbecue on, a half a dozen gin and tonics that would have been Bud Lights. But nobody's drinking Bud Lights now because of that freaky little homo Dylan Mulvaney. Mulvaney, right? Yeah. And so so instead, you're going to trust and you're going to have a false messiah, right? Donald Trump is the false messiah. And now you know who's going to be the John the Baptist for the false messiah, even though Cucker despises Trump? It's going to be Cucker, because Cucker works for the dark state. Cucker sounds good. He throws you a few peeled grapes of truth, but he doesn't throw you the whole bunch. He doesn't throw you the whole cornucopia basket of truth. Nah, he just throws you a few peeled grapes to let you feel really good about, yeah, I get it. Cucker gets it. Cucker's one of us. No, no, no. Cucker is not one of us. He never was. He never will be. Cucker is a high-paid Tokyo Rose. He's a propagandist. And because he's gained the trust of the one warrior potential warrior class that could ever take this country back, we nationalize this country. The people get to vote for real, not with the dark state-controlled Dominion farce. And we could go into that, but that's been covered ad nauseum. It's all such a kabuki theater that this lawsuit was dropped, and so Fox agreed to pay Dominion. Dominion's as dirty and corrupt as Diebold, probably more so. And Bev Harris, black box voting, proved that for the last 20 years. And now Diebold collapsed in shame, and they brought out Dominion. I mean, what a joke. Dominion is a farce. The Dominion allows the dark state to flip any election they want to flip. They don't flip them all, because then it would become obvious, but they just flip enough, like that traitorous goof Katie Hobbs in Arizona when Kari Lake clearly won that state by a landslide, and yeah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the other big news, and I kind of like this guy, but unfortunately, that's from my old days of thinking progressivism actually could work. And so now I clearly understand that it doesn't. And so I hate to tell you, but guess what? RFK Jr. is also the controlled opposition. I know there's so many people, like my dear friend, Dr. Judy Mikovits, who's going to come on the show again pretty soon. She's like, I know Bobby Jr. He's such a great guy. He's the real deal. And I'm like, Yeah. I mean, I believe he's a nice guy. I mean, he's been through a lot, and he's championed a lot of good causes. But once again, his grandfather was Joe Kennedy, as dirty a criminal as you're ever going to find. His uncles kind of went against the script, and they both got shot for it. And so now all of a sudden, you're going to come in, and you're going to suddenly be allowed to talk about the things that really matter, like the bubonic Jew jab and millions dying suddenly. And then he comes on, and let me see, which clip do I want to play? Let's go, Mr. Sam. Let's go with clip number 05. So his first interview after announcing he's running for president is with corrupt ABC News, and they censor him for telling the truth about the bubonic Jew jab. So listen to this. Number five, Sam. Okay, it's loading. The gerbils are having to run harder.
That's totally been debunked.
Wait a minute, who debunked it?
We have not seen any kind of scientific connection from the CDC, the World Health Organization, the National Academy of Sciences.
Those organizations are captive agencies, Lindsay.
And so you think they're all in cahoots?
Yeah, they're all captive.
You've discussed the Kennedy family as like any family. There are disagreements. But I think what makes it different here is that several of your relatives have not just said that they disagree with you, but they've called you dangerous. And as you're probably well aware, there were two of your siblings and a niece who wrote in a Politico article back in 2019. He's helped to spread dangerous misinformation over social media and is complicit in sowing distrust of science behind vaccines. We stand behind him in his ongoing fight to protect our environment. However, on vaccines, he's wrong. Your sister Carrie has said, I love my brother Bobby, but I do not share or endorse his opinions on many issues, including the COVID pandemic, vaccinations, and the role of social media platforms in policing false information. Your sister Rory has said, I admire his past work on it as an environmentalist. Because of him, we can swim in the Hudson. But due to a wide range of Bobby's positions, I'm supporting President Biden. I'm just curious, if you are not able to get your own sisters to vote for you for president, how would you make that appeal to American voters?
What is your family like? Do they agree with everything that you say and do?
They'd probably vote for me if I ran for president.
Yeah, well, I have siblings who will vote for me as well, but I have a big family and many of them will not. I have two siblings who came to my announcement and a lot of other relatives as well. But, I mean, there's disagreements, but, you know, I love my family. And, you know, my family we grew up arguing with each other. And we are very, very, I think, say, comfortable disagreeing with each other, both publicly and privately on issues, and at the same time loving each other. And that's something that I think is a lesson that we ought to learn for this country. We can disagree with each other without hating each other, without vilifying each other, without marginalizing each other.
I'm just making a distinction on just using your family's words to call you dangerous rather than saying that's not like the typical family that might have disagreements around the kitchen
table. And how do you expect me to respond to that other than saying they were wrong about the issue that they consider me dangerous?
Oh, that's a fair response. And my other point is just that if you don't regard the same scientific authorities.
Science is rarely static. There are very few scientific principles that are immovable. Science is dynamic. And, you know, look, I've litigated over 500 lawsuits. In every one of those lawsuits, there are experts, authorities on one side, and experts and authorities on the other that are saying the exact opposite thing. So, no, I don't trust authority. I need to see the details. I need to see the science.
Your final pitch to voters?
My pitch would be that, you know, we need to look at what's happened to our country. We need to try to arrest this emergence of corporatism, of the corrupt merger of state and corporate power that's undermining our values, that's strip mining our landscapes, that is stealing the assets of the middle class of this country, that is compromising the values of this country, that's keeping us in a constant state of war, and that is creating a nation that doesn't resemble the nation that, you know, we all love, which is a nation with a few handful of billionaires and widespread poverty in which democracy does not have a prayer of continuing. And let's try to take a new path that will allow us to give our children a country that is, once again, a moral authority around the globe, an exemplary nation, and that has a booming middle class in this country that can sustain democracy.
Well,
we should know that during our
sounds pretty good. Thank you, Sam. First takeaway is I don't follow the national news. I don't know who that mulatto woman was who was such a mouthy, disrespectful idiot. But that's the trained little teacup chihuahuas that they all are. They all make millions of dollars to be the Tokyo Rays and the Tokyo Roses to serve the dark state. And I thought Bobby did a good job of not losing his temper. But once again, he is a gatekeeper. He says plenty of good things, but he doesn't, you know, he says corporate. He doesn't name the synagogue of Satan. He doesn't say what's really going on. Just a pressure release valve to get people to have false hope that somehow, Kennedy's going to come to the rescue and we'll get rid of the living glory hole that Gibbon pedo Biden, right? And so, but what are we already seeing? That the globalist parasites who control the Democratic Committee, the National Party, already said no debates because Kennedy and anyone else who jumps in would clean the floor with them. No debates, probably, you know, every primary, Kennedy will win every primary if they're legit, but all of a sudden they won't be legit. And what's such a joke about this controlled by the synagogue of Satan totalitarian regime with a lot of Panama Kirkenses, a lot of bad food for you, a lot of bad entertainment, a lot of bad everything, keeps you distracted from what's really going on. I mean, talk about one of the most brilliant allegories of all time is the frog in a boiling water. You drop a frog in boiling water, frog will jump out to save its life. You drop a frog in cool, lukewarm water on a slow boil. The frog will just kind of like, ah, it's not so bad. It's pretty good. And before you know it, the frog has been boiled alive. That is what is going on, and that is the role that Cucker for the conservatives and Bobby Kennedy Jr. for the old school liberals, that's the role they're both playing. And the question is, are they doing it willingly, or are they just being moved around the chessboard like pieces? That's something in hour two. We're going to open up the phone lines. Maybe you can tell me if you think it is they're willing participants, or are they just being used? I guess we'll discuss that. But one person who absolutely knows what he's doing and happily doing so is the traitor Ron DeSantis, the man who won the gold medal for the rectum licking contest for Israeli Jews. Won it. I mean, record time did Ron DeSantis manage to cuck, uber cuck. So Sam, if you could cue up clip number 10. And so, you know, our dear friend and flamboyant agitprop street theater, Handsome Truth, John Minadeo, maybe he's gone too far. Some people think that I've had conversations with him offline. I don't think he's Israeli operative. I think he's just committed and he's very flamboyant and is just single-minded in his purpose. But he delivered the wet dream that all these dual citizen traders were hoping for down in Florida, which is to supersede the First Amendment with a bunch of Hebrew weasel words. And uber cuck Jew rectum licker DeSantis went to Israel to sign a bill, HB 269, that bans free speech in Florida, which last thing I checked, Florida was in the United States. The United States had the First Amendment. But listen to this, clip number 10, Sam.
You know, you in the United States, you have a constitutionally protected right to say whatever you want, no matter how distasteful it is, no matter how hateful it is. And that's just the way it is. But you don't have a right to threaten people. You don't have a right to harass people. You don't have a right to intimidate somebody, particularly on the basis of somebody's religious affiliation or whether they may be wearing a kippah. That is different than just expressing your opinion. And so we have looked, I think the legislature looked, okay, what can we do in Florida to enhance the ability to hold people accountable when they're not just giving an opinion, however distasteful it is, but when that really crosses the line into threatening conduct. And that's what the legislature has done. This is going to provide more tools to be able to combat anti-Semitic activity, including things like, you know, if you have a synagogue and someone shines a swastika-like image on that, you know, they have a right to do the image for themselves, but putting it on someone else's property, they're defining that this bill is a trespass, and you could be held accountable for infringing on somebody else's property rights. And so what they're doing is really saying, okay, obviously, we're going to uphold the First Amendment, and there's just no way around that. And honestly, you're much better off just having everything be protected than try to pick and choose. But when you have this type of conduct, what can you do? So now there's going to be more tools to be able to do that. So I want to commend both the legislators for being involved, and they came all the way to Israel to bring the bill here, and we're going to be able to sign the bill here in Israel, and that will be on the books in Florida momentarily.
What a traitorous POS uber cuck DeSantis is. First takeaway from his did you notice how brown his tongue was? If you saw that on Twitter where that clip was from, notice how brown his tongue was. Gold medalist, fastest time ever. And so first takeaway from that nonsense, the weasel words of the dark state, is how he's like, well, you can't impugn someone's religion. You can't hassle them. And yet what has Antifa been doing at all the Christians who are protesting the murder of innocent unborn children? What is BLM doing like in Indianapolis when a white woman's claim that all lives matter, and this groid pulled out a handgun and shot her in the head dead in front of everyone else. So uber cuck DeSantis, again, a controlled opposite. Well, he's a total Hebrew puppet. He is and then I don't know if you caught, I don't know how much you've been following all this, but he then, after his rectum licking speech, just dripping with synagogue of Satan feces everywhere, then he goes and has dinner with the widow of Shecky Anlestein, Sheldon Adelson, whose real name is Shecky Anlestein, the fraud gangster mafioso. Everybody in the media, the globalist controlled media, likes to represent Italians as the masterminds in organized crime, but it was clearly the Jew, the Murder Incorporated, who took the top position. And it's sad that the Italians didn't drive them back when they had the chance early on, but they didn't, and that's water under the bridge. So, you know, DeSantis, what a fraud, what a phony, what a man who's thinking that somehow, well, it may happen, you never know. I mean, you've got all, you know, Israel has phenomenal hackers, Unit 216, Unit 8200. They put so much money into high-tech chicanery that they may be able to install him, because for whatever reason, they put on the Kabuki theater that Jews hate Donald Trump, when Donald Trump is a Jew marionette, just like DeSantis is a Jew marionette. So it is tragic to see that guy who did some good stuff with COVID-19 in Florida. You know, you don't have to wear masks, the kids, blah, blah, blah. But again, you see who really holds his leash, like the little teacup chihuahua that he is. They had him on a 5-foot leash, not one of those 26-foot extendos. They had him on a 5-foot leash, and they reeled him in quick. And what a disgusting character. And I'll be very curious to see what happens now, because there are a lot of people in this country who truly believe in the First Amendment, who truly believe in freedom of speech and the Second Amendment. And those are the rights that still separate us from the rest of the world, rather. Look at what's going on in Britain with that ridiculous censorship and imprisonment of really decent people like Graham Hart, like James Albrecht, who went by Sven Longshakes, like the brilliant Alison Chablot, and there's probably going to be others getting popped. And, you know, at some point, I especially hope it's in Europe, because Europe does still have, the countries of Europe, a clear white majority, and hopefully those folks step up and they become the beacon for America. I think America's lost, personally, because the border has been so porous and there's so many non-whites here now. I mean, look at, when I was a little boy in the 60s, this country was 90, 92, 94% white, right? We had a high trust society. And look at what's happened in literally 60 years, thanks to the synagogue of Satan, thanks to the evil that is the Talmudist, the Sabbatean, Frankist, Shabbatist Talmudist, the devil's minions. That's what we're dealing with. And sadly, it's never been more obvious. And we'll be coming up at the bottom of the hour break here shortly, and then we'll return and we'll take a look at this tranny and sanny. I mean, it gets worse by the week. And when there's starting to be some real parents, real men and women waking up and fighting against this. But the insanity of this Bolshevik 2.0 revolution that has gained far too much traction is all these traitorous operatives are at every level of government. So stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages with more clips.
the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
So excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love.
Double your pleasure, double your fun. Two-hour dose of loving hate with Giuseppe Vaffangulo and my normal co-host, either John Friend, who could not make it tonight, or next week's the great Frederick C. Blackburn. I want to remind you guys that RBN needs your help ever since John Stadtmiller tragically passed a year and a half ago. This fine truth-telling network has been hanging on by a shoestring. So the spring fundraising drive is going on, and if you can donate $100 or more, you can get the excellent book by Michael Collins Piper. He's written so many, I forget which one they're offering, but please support the station. And that I'm going to buy some of that chicken. That sounds really good. And there's so many great products at RBN, and please support the network, because if you don't, may not be here next week or next month or next year. So if you can afford it, clearly these are tough times for many, many people. All right, so we're back. And so the crazy thing that is going on, and it just gets crazier to me. And by the way, that was the Ramones' Beat on the Brat, which is sound advice for the brat being some 60-year-old tranny who now believes he's a 6-year-old little girl and wants to go and diddle your little daughter or son. So what's the solution? Listen to the Ramones song "Beat on the Brat." Those are your marching orders. All right, so we're back. So God, I'm so sick of this tranny and sanny stuff. I got some really good clips on this. It's just so obvious, the eternal battle between divine good and satanic meaning adversary or evil, satanic evil, which is, you know, you've got team good, people like us, versus team evil, which is the synagogue of Satan, which is the child grooming, child raping homosexuals, and the mentally deranged, violent child grooming, child raping trannies. There's your team evil, and we must fight for team good. But let's start out. I really like What's Her Face from Canada. She puts out about once a week. Really insightful, well-reasoned, well put together commentary. And she's very astute at avoiding – I got kicked off of YouTube four different times. But she's managed to keep her channel. So, Sam, if you could play clip number 12 with What's-Her-Face on the horrors of transitioning sex, which is just absurd.
A 17-year-old biological female patient on testosterone said she was bleeding from the vagina. In less than an hour, she had soaked through an extra heavy pad, her jeans, and a towel she had wrapped around her waist. The nurse at the center told her to go to the emergency room right away. We found out later this girl had had intercourse, and because testosterone thins out the vaginal tissues, her vaginal canal had ripped open. She had to be sedated and given surgery to repair the damage. This is the testimony of Jamie Reed, a self-proclaimed queer gender clinic case manager turned whistleblower, about one of the many side effects of hormone therapy she witnessed during her 4 years of employment at a transgender center in a U.S. children's hospital. Since there are so many people out there who vehemently support gender ideology and medical gender transitions for children, I feel it is my duty to provide the public service of educating those people on just what a gender transition entails. Because, you know, I don't want anyone out there blindly supporting stuff they don't understand so that they can increase their social credit while simultaneously decreasing their personal accountability. So what does a gender transition look like? Let's talk about it. Sex reassignment surgery, or SRS for short, whether female to male or male to female, begins with a psych evaluation from a therapist. Jamie Reed, who mostly worked with young girls, says, to begin transitioning, the girls needed a letter of support from a therapist, usually one we recommended, who they had to see only once or twice to get the green light. To make it more efficient for the therapists, we offered them a template for how to write a letter in support of transition. The next stop was a single visit to the endocrinologist for a testosterone prescription. That's all it took. And many of these centers don't require a letter at all. After scouring the internet for more information on gender transitions, I came across several Reddit threads full of troubled youth discussing centers that cut through the red tape and hand out hormones like Halloween candy. One user even compiled a list of every informed consent clinic in the country that doesn't require a letter from a therapist. And the responses to his list were even more alarming. One commenter says, "Charleston Planned Parenthood is awesome. I got my HRT the same day that I asked for it. Another says, I started HRT while I was living in Iowa, and the Planned Parenthood in Cedar Rapids treated me well. They weren't simple informed consent at the time, but all they required was a therapist letter. I had a really good experience, and they prescribed my hormones on the first visit. Granted, it's been about 6 years since I got on hormones, but my experience there was as painless as possible. I walked in, told them I was trans, signed some medical forms, discussed with the doctor the expected outcomes and potential risks, and that was it. They sent me to get blood work, and once it was faxed over, they called in a script. Amazingly simple. Very positive. Now, many will tell you that hormone therapy is no big deal. The effects are completely reversible. But according to Jamie, when a female takes testosterone, the profound and permanent effects of the hormone can be seen in a matter of months. Voices drop, beards sprout, body fat is redistributed.
I'm tired of watching my hair thin out, and it's less distressing if I shave it. So when I talk about being too far gone, I don't really know what else to call it. This is what I mean. This is how deep my voice is. it's gotten deeper over time, and it's settled. This is what I mean by hair loss. And it just keeps getting worse. It keeps thinning. It keeps receding backwards. And I'm not exactly sure that's coming back.
And those are just the intended effects. Being put on powerful doses of testosterone or estrogen, enough to trick the body into mimicking the opposite sex, affects the rest of the body as well. Sexual interest explodes, aggression increases, and mood can be unpredictable. Our patients were told about some side effects, including sterility, but after working at the center, I came to believe that teenagers are simply not capable of fully grasping what it means to make the decision to become infertile while still a minor.
I do hate to speak about it, but I'm experiencing sexual dysfunction at the age of 18. That's something that women usually go through when they're in their 40s to 50s.
Okay, Sam, right? we can end it. You get the point. What's her face does a great job of showing that this is literally the synagogue of Satan operating their fifth generation warfare against heritage Europeans. Nothing more, nothing less. At this point, what we're dealing with is three sexes: men, women, and it. And the it are disgusting. They're not real. And yet, because the Bolshevik 2.0 crowd has gotten installed their puppets at every level, school boards, DAs, mayors, and then you get to the state representatives, like the great Blackbird 9 will be co-host next week, bully, bribe, blackmail, banish, and bury. So that one of the five B's is what they do to control every level of these marionettes. And keep in mind that in 2007, right a year before that traitorous, closeted homosexual Barack shit-stain Obama was elected, and that was a legitimate elected. He's an excellent shit-talker. And told all the lies he needed to get in office and really move forward this globalist Bolshevik 2.0 agenda. But there were two gender transition clinics, both owned by chicken swingers, one in Boston, Massachusetts, and one in Richmond, Virginia, right? And so that's 2007. So fast forward to 2023. It's a fast growth industry dominated by the Hebrews, and there's several hundred in North America now, in Canada, a couple hundred in the United States. There's 30 or 40 or more and growing in Mexico. And why is that? Well, because there's demand, and these parasites always try to pump up a bubble and take advantage of it. And not only can they steal the wealth of these young, mentally deranged, weak individuals, but they also can prosecute a fifth generation warfare that they tried in the 30s in Weimar Germany, but luckily it was only in the big cities in Weimar Germany, and the chancellor was able to use that as an example to call the real people of Germany together for the Reich, and what a heroic battle fought, and sadly, as Patton said before he was assassinated, we fought on the wrong side, and we certainly did. We fought on the side of Synagogue of Satan communism, and we should have fought on the side of freedom and supported Germany. And none of this that we're all, this living hell we're all going through, we're witnessing it more so than living it, especially if you're not in the city. Life is pretty normal here in rural Stafford County. But man, am I glad I'm 90 minutes away from the district criminals now. I'd like to be 9 hours away, but that's coming down the pike in the future at some point. All right, so what are we dealing with? We're dealing with literally a satanic agenda to take down heritage Europeans, right? And so how are they achieving this? Well, we're talking about the slippery slope, right? So was first we had feminism. And, you know, first generation feminism was I supported it because there were people, I knew them when I was a little boy, my mother's friends, they got divorced and they couldn't get a mortgage. They couldn't get a credit card. And so that needed to be changed, right? So that's about fairness. And so, okay, so but then all of a sudden the insane Jewish lesbians took over feminism, and every following generation became more and more psychopathic and more out to destroy the traditional family, which is the only hope for this world. So then the butt blasters, homos, joined in, and so we really need to be able to get married. You know, when I was a more tolerant individual 30 years ago, I thought civil unions were fair because you've got these, everybody knows a nice Jew, everybody knows a nice homo, a nice lesbian. I don't really know any nice trannies. I don't even know any trannies. I don't want to know any trannies. They're just mentally deranged. And it's funny, I said this on a show, I'm going to have to hammer this point home. In my training in Oriental medicine, natural medicine, which is far superior to anything that big Jew pharma puts out these days, 5,000-year-old medicine, the perfect triangle is body, mind, and spirit. And if you look at the tranny is poisoned in body, poisoned in mind, and poisoned in spirit. There's nothing redeeming about the it, and the it being the tranny, nothing redeeming. So all of a sudden, you know, you've got, getting back to the slippery slope, you've got the homos, I just lost my partner Lance Prong to AIDS, and he worked, and I was the stay-at-home butt blaster, and I don't have anything now, poor me, so civil unions, I didn't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with this day is the Synagogue of Satan parasites controlling enough of the federal government that they passed a law to allow homosexuals to be considered to be married. There is no homosexual marriage. There is only a marriage between a man and a woman. So then you go to, okay, let us get married, to now it's like, you got to bake our wedding cake, normie. If not, we're gonna sue you, and we're going to get the government on you. So there's the beginning of the slippery slope. A Christian baker didn't want to have the indignity to make a wedding cake for a couple of degenerates. And he, that those Christian bakers had every right to say, no, go to another baker. Okay, so now the slippery slope is on a swift descent. Now weak parents, again, weak in mind, weak in body, and weak in spirit, allow their poisoned children, thanks to glyphosate, thanks to all quaccination with the heavy metals, with all the toxic injections going right into the brains, right in the bloodstream, right in the brain. So now you've got all these children, young adults who suddenly are narcissistic, mentally ill, special snowflakes, who suddenly, you got to use our pronouns. Well, I just defined the appropriate pronouns a few moments ago. There's men, he, there's women, she, and there's LGBTQTWTF, it. Okay, so now, because the globalists control the media, control the social media, control academia, control transnational corporations, control the government, all of a sudden you've got these sick its who have no business teaching any children, are hired as teachers for impressionable, innocent children. So there you go. So they're having secret meetings. We've got our secret little tranny room. And it's okay, little Johnny, if you want to be Janie, or little Janie, if you want to be Johnny, you just come on in and you can trust me. You can trust me. Oh, don't worry as I touch your anus and I touch your genitalia. It's all part of our little secret, isn't it? You can come in here and dress like a girl, Johnny, or you can dress like a guy, Janie. So that's the pronoun. So then we're in free fall plummet because this drag queen story hour is just insane. It's, you literally got sick, mentally ill. Again, the perfect triangle, body, mind, and spirit. Trannies are poison minds, poison bodies, and sick, degenerate, poison spirits. And so they're allowed to dress up. It's so funny to watch these idiots. A lot of them are just 300 pounds, ugly men dressed up like strippers in like stripper costumes with the what do you call those leggings? What the heck is that called when you wear stockings and then clip them on? I can't remember. I'm getting old now. I used to know all that stuff but now you just forget it all. But dressing like whores, like a whore. You're a whore, except you're the worst kind of whore. You're a man who wants to whore it up with a little 10-year-old boy. So again, cue up the Ramones, Beat on the Brat. Yes, that's the solution. And so, okay, so now you've got all these big cities, and even in places like North Idaho, our dear friend Casey Whalen has covered that the It's invaded North Idaho, and they're trying to have their drag queen story hour, and of course, Moshe Garfinkel, the traitorous Israeli scum dual citizen who has the blue blood name of Merrick Garland, sends in SWAT teams to allow that to happen. Unbelievable. Is this America anymore? I don't think so. And so now we're at the final descent of the slippery slope. Let teachers choose your kids' genders. And you look at the pictures of these sick its that are teaching the children. There should be no demand for public education. Everyone should homeschool. And if you homeschool, you don't let the state approve your curriculum. You give the middle finger to the state. And if they come a-calling, they're brats. Will you beat on the brat? All right, that's enough of that rant. Let's see where we want to go next. Let me scroll up to my list of clips. Okay. Let's do this just to slam that point home. Where are we at time-wise? No, we got to skip this. So, okay, so Sam, if you could cue up clip number 9. So the ADL is the sky is falling. The sky is falling. Anti-Semitism is on the rise. How can this be after so many Holocausts? So many Holocausts. Go ahead and play clip number 9, Sam.
Soon, New York, Sunday, June the 6th, 1915. This is 18 years before Hitler ever set foot in the government. There it is, people. 6 million Jews. The New York Times, October the 18th, 1918. And the article isn't called $1 billion fund to rebuild Jewry. There it is. 6 million souls will need help to resume normal life when war is ended. The New York Times, September the 8th, 1919. And the article is called Ukrainian Jews Aim to Stop Pogroms. Mass meeting he has, and 127,000 Jews have been killed and 6 million on peril. In the New York Times, November the 12th, 1919. And if reduced to tragically unbelievable poverty, starvation, and disease, about 6 million souls were half the Jewish population of the earth. February 23rd, 1920. 6 million Jews. Friday, May the 7th, 1920. The fund for Jewish war sufferers in Central and Eastern Europe, where 6 millions face horrifying conditions of famine, disease, and death. New York Times, Wednesday, July the 20th, 1921. 12 years before Adolf Hitler ever set foot in the government. Look at that. Russia's 6 million Jews are facing extermination by massacre.
Okay, Sam, the listeners get the point. The funny thing is so many 6 millions have been wiped off the board, according to the Sabbatean Frankish Shabbatist rabbis. How are there any Jews left? I don't know, except I know Blackbird 9 last night on his excellent snack chat with Monica Schaefer pointed out that if you look at the official world Jewish globalist tracking, I forget the exact name of it, but it was like, well, you know what, there were 15 million Jews in Europe before World War II, and then you subtract 6 million and go, hey, and let's do the CPA math, 23 million. Of course, it's all a lie. It's all a lie, as is the increase in so-called anti-Semitism. Of course, we can't trust a goyim such as me. But how about let's talk and listen to Sam clip number 7. Israeli filmmaker Yoav Shamir. Yoav asked the ADL for one instance of shocking increase in anti-Semitism cases he could document because he wanted to make a film on it. And how about that? The ADL couldn't provide him with one. So check this out.
According to the ADL reports from the last couple of years, the average number of anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. is around 1,500 a year. I'm hoping Joel Levy can help me find a case I'll be able to follow.
What I'd like to do is to follow a case.
I understand, yeah.
You know, every film is like a drive. Yeah. Once we have like a case that we can follow, So that would be great.
We're going over the fresh data collected over the last couple of weeks to see if there's anything I will be able to film.
We have received in the last week or so someone who employment case, someone who wasn't able to take days off for the holiday. Someone who is a school teacher and wanted days off for Shavuot. Someone who is a nursing student and had some issues with taking time off as well as with taking time off. We also got a phone call from someone who was complaining about a website that had anti-Semitic remarks on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the show.
Someone who was complaining about an article in the newspaper who they thought had anti-Semitic undertones. I mean, that seems to be the roundup.
And that's what we've had in the last 2 weeks. Those are the kinds of incidents that we've had recently. 5 in 2 weeks. So there's no way to predict.
There wasn't anything suitable from the last 2 weeks. So Joel Levy tries to help me to find a case.
What they're looking for is an incident that they might be able, and they will do all the contact work, but an incident they might be able to follow to actually see something that has happened, to go to the site, to talk to people there, to show what has happened, the impact on them, how we interact with all of that, and so on.
Assemblyman Hickind has a lot of Jewish voters in Brooklyn, and he suggested a case for me.
You know, I had a very interesting case. Just last week, a woman went to a funeral in not too far from here.
All right.
Thousands of people.
If a Jewish filmmaker can't find an actual anti-Semitism case, what chance do we have? All right, stay tuned. Hour number 2, we're going to open up the phone lines and let's get your thoughts. So after these messages, stay tuned for hour number 2 of the Sane Asylum.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store, go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.